they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole.
Get we found ready. It's time again to venture down the rabbit hole into the world of cybersecurity. You're plugged into the podcast for security leaders and practitioners with a business sense. Prepare for unique interviews, insights, and practical advice that makes your job just a bit easier. And now, please welcome your guides on this adventure, James Jardine and the White Rabbit, Ruffalos.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, friends and colleagues. Welcome down the Security Rabbit Hole to yet another riveting edition of the Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. Hey, it's Raf, and over yonder, James is back. What's up, buddy?
Welcome, man. We're midway through 2020 already, aren't we?
Doesn't it feel like?
Or I think as I saw someplace, somebody said we were well into 2020, and I kind of was like, are we?
I think well into qualifies. Like once you get into like May and June, that's like well into, maybe even March.
Right.
But you know, third week of January, probably not so much.
I haven't even crossed the mid of January yet, and we're well into 2020.
I just the plethora of 2020 vision jokes just are killing me right now. But we do have a fantastic show for you guys scheduled today. Got a good lineup of conversation and. On this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about stuff and unwanted stuff. We got Nathan Collier joining us. Nathan, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
And you are a sought-after individual at the moment, or were anyway, for a little bit there.
I think the news cycle's over with, so thank goodness. It was a busy last week.
All right, well, all right, so... for those folks that didn't get a chance to catch up on what happened, give us the 30-second scoop or the rundown, and we'll start from there.
Okay, so back in October, we started getting support tickets for a phone that was on the systems. Actually, let me give it the more accurate description of it. It was a Lifeline Assistance Program. And what the Lifeline Assistance Program is essentially is, excuse my kid in the background.
Sorry, everybody's got him.
Yeah.
As long as not to interrupt your train of thought, but as long as we don't end up with one of those, what was it, CNN or MSNBC or one of those where the guy's giving the interview and the kids run in?
Yeah, that might happen. Here, let me close the door so it's a little bit better.
All right, back to the story.
Sorry about that. All right. Put them down for the nap. So.
That's right. All right, back to the story here.
Okay, so the story is we found a phone. It was provided through the Assurance Wireless, which is pretty much they deal with customers that work with the Lifeline Assistance Program. And the Lifeline Assistance Program essentially is a program that provides phones for low-income families in America.
Okay. Worthy cause.
So, worthy cause, very much so. So one of their models, the cheapest model on there, the most budget, for $35, was their UMX. And the UMX phone, we were finding from the support tickets that were coming in October, that it had pre-installed malware on it. So the first thing, you know, we did is double-check that it wasn't a false positive, you know, those things don't ever happen, but, you know, just a check. And it's like, no, this is definitely not a false positive.
Tongue-in-cheek joke.
This is malware, and, you know, we can't remove it.
What do you mean you can't remove it?
You can remove it. So here's the fun part. So pre-installed malware is at the system level. Now, anything on the system level, for security reasons, you can't remove. So that's things lovely. Like your settings app. That you wouldn't want to remove, because if you remove your settings app, it would kind of leave your phone as a brick.
Right.
So there's a good reason why you can't remove it. But when your settings app also has malware within the code, that's kind of an issue. That's exactly what's going on with the UMX here.
Wow.
So we dug deep. We really went into it. I really, you know, tried to cross my T's and dot my I's with this one, because we want to make sure that what we were seeing was 110% what we were seeing, because, you know, we couldn't believe our eyes a little bit too. And indeed, it had a dropper within the settings app that was dropping a well-known Trojan.hidden ads. Now, Trojan.hidden ads is this friendly little piece of malware that pops up ads pretty much anywhere it can. Your notifications, on your lock screen, full page ads, anywhere. And what it is, it's a scheme so they can get every single time they pop up ad a couple of cents here and there.
Yeah. Now Okay, so, I mean, on the surface, like, having an ad, essentially an ad-sponsored low-cost phone for the we'll call it economically disadvantaged, part of me wants to say, well, I mean, they got to pay for it somehow, right? So maybe that's okay.
So it's a little different. It's a little different.
Okay.
So I've had a couple of these phones, the blue phone that was in the news a couple years ago. We've got one of those. And yeah, right when you open up the phone, you have ads. You know ads are there. You know what you're kind of getting into. Mm-hmm. You know exactly where the ads are coming from. And it's kind of like, well, this is what I signed up for. But this is a little bit different. Hidden ads is hiding in the background. You don't know where they're coming from. They're coming up every single angle where at least, you know, the blue phone, it pops up in your notifications. You know it's coming. It's not a big deal. You swipe, whatever. Move on with your life. Where this one is just aggressive as it can be. It is just from every single angle. And hidden ads hides in the phone, so you have no way to disable it. Because you can kind of disable the ads on your blue phone, you know, fairly easily. Not a big deal, and you continue to use the phone. Where this, like, it's just nasty stuff. But it's not something that comes originally with the phone. It's dropped. So when we originally purchased this phone and worked with it, we saw that there was a dropper, but we hadn't yet got hidden ads. It wasn't until several days after that it finally dropped it. So the whole thing is just kind of shady.
Yeah, that reeks of shady.
I mean, it's malware as much as malware can be. Where, yeah, you're right, some of the phones that do come with ads right there on the phone, pre-installed, it's a little bit different, and you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. This was definitely some malintent.
Well, so the other thing is, it wasn't a pre-installed ad app. It is a dropper that adds
an ad. It is a Trojan that is... Yeah.
Yeah. So that's completely different in my opinion, right? Yeah. So not because that thing can drop damn near anything.
Damn near anything. Now another fun part of this phone is it also has what we have known for years as AdUps, and what AdUps is we detect it as pup.riskware.autoinstaller, and it pretty much sounds exactly what it is. It's a potentially unwanted program that is a riskware that can auto install things. Now, right when you start up the phone, it goes ahead and installs three things right off the bat. None of them are malicious, but just the fact that it just does it, and it's not like things that you absolutely need for the phone to function, because I understand. So it's advertised as a wireless updater, and a wireless updater obviously needs to be able to install some things to keep it able to, you know, overlap some system apps to have you more updated and more secure. That's its functionality. But when it's, you know, downloading things like, I can't remember what Ozak was doing, but like some Google apps that you don't really need on your phone, it's kind of this like, okay, that's pretty powerful. That can just install whatever it wants, whenever it wants.
But so at the system level, though.
That's on this phone. At the system level. But here's the thing. With that one, we have a way that a kind of a workaround. So because we can't technically uninstall it because no malware scanner can, plug your phone into the PC and using what's called Android Debridge, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's essentially a way to use command lines to interface with the phone. And you can use these command lines to essentially uninstall. So there's actually a couple of different users on your phone, and if you uninstall it for the current user, it pretty much completely disables the thing for ever working or functioning.
The phone,
so
or just
you
the
can
ad
do
thing?
That. Just the app.
Okay.
So the pop that's RiskWare, the auto installer, or what we call AdUps, you can easily disable it using this method. If you don't use this method, AdUps has been shown that you can't even disable it. So this is kind of a workaround we found to be able to just, you know, stop it from doing anything, and people can continue to use their phones. where there's no solution for the settings.
Jeez.
I mean, the only solution that you could really do is, you know, if you updated Settings app with another version of Settings app that was compatible with the phone and would allow you to update.
Yeah.
Now, I've had other cases in the past where system-level apps, like the System UI app, was infected, and, you know, trying desperately to find a System UI app that would be able to overlap and fix the customer's phone, I just was not successful. And at some point, it's like, well, there's nothing we can do. It's really up to the manufacturer to step in and say, okay, we're going to push out an update, ironically through the wireless updater that has riskware on it.
that is serious irony.
Yeah. Go ahead and push out an update and replace the Settings app with a clean version. And my question is, it's like, how does this all happen? What is the process for these budget manufacturers when they go through and they build an Android device and they're looking at different apps to put on the phone? I mean, I guess you would think that Google would provide just stripped down generic system apps that manufacturers could use, but I guess maybe that isn't the case. I'm very curious to see what the whole chain looks like from a manufacturer making a physical device like QMax, and then putting Android OS on it, and then putting, you know, custom system apps like the settings and everything else that needs to be on an Android device for it to function, and how in that whole process settings could get infected with malware like it did.
It's not by accident, right? It's not like, oops, something happened. This is intent. I sort of want, so it as you're talking. Intent. So as you're talking, it springs to mind, because of this sounds like a unique problem to Android, because you're not getting Apple doing this, because they control everything about the U.S. They sell
the
phone.
Yeah, they're so hands-on that it's impossible. You know, where Android, you have so many different manufacturers and so many people doing different things. And I have friends that are developers, and they say Android's just a pain because every single OS is a little bit different. Every single phone manufacturer is just a little bit different, and you have to make tweaks along the way to make things function. Where Apple, I mean, love it or hate it, they're locked down.
Maybe I'm wrong, or James, maybe we're just old, but this is the same Microsoft versus Linux argument.
Yep.
Except in this case, Microsoft is replaced with Apple, and Linux is replaced with Android, right? I mean, it's the same argument.
Yeah.
Well, we had the same thing, even Microsoft and Apple, right? I mean, Apple computers typically don't crash, not nearly as much as Microsoft, but it's because Microsoft lets you run on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, pick any random graphics card, pick any random CPU, pick a motherboard, RAM, whatever. Throw it all together in this huge mess, and Microsoft says we'll run on that.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, it's nice because it leaves the responsibility up to the user to do whatever you can dream of doing. And that's the same thing with the Android OS. I mean, we don't recommend it, but you absolutely could go to a third-party site and download apps in there instead of Google Play. No one's telling you have to use Google Play. Is it a good idea? Yeah, but you can do whatever the heck you want. You can root your phone if you want. I mean, not a good idea once again, but you can do it.
Well, so Nathan, that sounds lovely for those of us that... And I just might as well exclude myself from this now, because I'm probably not in that population anymore. But those of us that, you know, probably some of the audience that's listening that are going, yeah, I can tinker on my own. I can recompile things on my own. I mean, back in the day when we had to, you know, install Linux from source, right? You had to compile everything before you could even boot up for the first time. Like all that stuff.
Yep.
That limits the population that actually gets effectiveness out of that. They can do that safely, let's say. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The more choice you have,
isn't it?
Yeah. So, but I mean, think the more choice
you have. It's always the user that thinks they know enough, but they don't quite know enough.
Well, it's not going to be my parents. It's not going to be my parents. It's not going to be most of my colleagues.
Yeah.
You know, at any given company out there. And so that makes me think. Like, is this? It's definitely a disadvantage that Android has, but then again, it's an advantage because now it can be on a million different devices, and you've got you know, scalability that way. But then they're all out of sync. Are you guys seeing more of this stuff happening on the Android platform?
Absolutely, but you also have to think. All right, you want to go out to buy an Apple phone today? How much are you spending? you want to go out and buy an Android today, you have all these budget manufacturers that you get to choose from.
Yeah.
Tell me where else you can have a smartphone. A smartphone for $35. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. And I understand. I broke my Pixel last spring, and I was freaking out. It's just like, look at a Pixel 2. It's $500-$600.
Yeah.
You know? I completely get it. You know, I get why people want to go out and buy a more cost-friendly phone. And you know what? I say go for it. And there's absolutely zero reason why you should get a cost-effective phone. And yeah, it won't be as fast, but you can still get on the internet. You can still do what you need to do on it. But there's no reason why you should have pre-installed malware on top of that. That's too big of a price to pay.
Yeah, you know, no, I think that's always, I mean, that's the risk, but that's not unique to mobile phones, right? We've seen USB, you know, cheap USB sticks that come with malware. We saw Lenovo laptops. Am I remembering that correctly, James? Was it Lenovo that had the problem?
I'm pretty sure Lenovo had a couple of years ago pre-installed on it.
Yeah, pre-installed. Like, yeah, hey, malware pre-installed.
Yeah.
And it's even past that idea of bloatware, right? I mean, you got bloatware, and we've had that problem for so long. But you know, you take it to that next level of, you know, like you said, I mean, this isn't. It's not like the app was installed. There's a dropper there saying, "Hey, I can install whatever I want."
Yeah.
And, you know, people aren't agreeing to that when they get it, right?
Absolutely. They don't know it's coming. You know, it's not up front. When you have a dropper that's on time release and you don't even see the Trojan that's dropped days afterwards, it's, you know, there's something very shady going on.
Yeah, somebody's playing dirty pool there. So you work for a company that researches, finds and helps people remove this crap from their devices. I mean, how much of this is a trend, and what else are you seeing? I'm almost afraid to ask this question.
Oh man, I have been preaching this for several years now, to be honest. I've been doing mobile for probably more than, I'd say, close to 10 years now. And I've been seeing this coming, and I'm kind of the guy, you know, guy on the rooftop shouting about it, and it was like, yeah, whatever, not really listening. It's like, no, this something's coming, guys. Like, we need to do something about this. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I mean, the amount of cases we see in our support system, I help out on the forums, the amount of cases we see there, it's crazy. I was talking about the method where you can go ahead and use your PC and use command lines. Well, we have a forum post, and that forum post has, I'm just off the top of my head, like 35,000 views. You can't tell me that's not the issue when 35,000 people have looked into installing something on their PC to find a workaround to remove this pre-installed malware. It's a problem. It's a big problem. And
when you first had mentioned that, I was thinking, because you're like, you know, it's pretty simple, run some commands. But when you're talking about the low-end phones,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
How many of those people don't have computers?
None. I mean, all of them. Yeah. None of them have computers.
Don't have computers and just...
Right? I mean, you're not going to the library to load up the Android bridge.
Well, intensive. It's tech intensive. And I feel guilty because I'm just like, this is what I have. This is what I can't... I wish I could do more. You know, I would invite you to my house, sit down, and do it for you if I could. But, you know, it just does... There's just a reality to it that you can't do that. And you know,
have you seen any instances where this is coming out? Because I could see this as the opening opportunity for, you know, somebody else that may be a capitalist out there saying, oh, well, you know what, I'll just create a program that says it removes this. Or just run my program. You don't have to run any command line things. Download my executables and run them on, you know, if you have the PC, run them on your PC, and now I've got this same type of stuff on your PC running it too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see me, but I'm holding my head in my hands right now.
I mean, how many times have you gone out and searched, right? I mean, you're sitting there working on...
Someone's writing down notes right now.
You know, a friend's computer, and right. What do? You go out there and you search, and you say, how do I get rid of this? Or I got this error message, mm-hmm. and, you know, you look at the Google results. And, you know, fortunately, there's a pretty reputable company that pops up at the top that usually is pretty good at pulling off stuff from your computer. Mm. But how do you know, do I choose this one or that one? And I'm always terrified. Like, do I want to download this and run this? I mean, a bunch of people have done it, but, you know, that doesn't mean they're not all owned.
Right, that doesn't make it right.
Right. Right. You know, and so it makes it that much more difficult because now you're in a situation where you're like, dang, I know I got malware. And to try to get rid of the malware, am I downloading something that's malware that says it's going to get rid of it, but it gets rid of that, but then just puts different malware on there, you know?
Oh, that's,
it's vicious.
God, it is super vicious, especially on Google Play. There's so many fake scanners out there, so many. And yeah, how do you know which one's reputable and which one isn't?
Or which ones are lookalikes?
It's tough. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nathan.
Exactly.
I got an interesting question for you. So we learned, you know, what, 20 years ago that we were going to get malware and viruses, that was what we called them before, on our PCs and Macs and Linux laptops and desktops and servers and whatnot. So we started putting AV on everything. I don't yet have anti-malware protection or malware protection on my mobile phone or my tablet.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't.
Is that a thing I should be concerned about?
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely should have something, especially on Android. You should have a mobile scanner. And guess what? At the price of free, there's not really much of an excuse. We offer ours. We have a premium version that does a bunch of extra things for 90. And then after that 90 days, you can run our scanner for free as long as you like. So, I mean, and a lot of the other companies out there are doing the same. So, I don't think there's much of an excuse. I think it's just a good idea. You know, even if you have best practices, you visit safe sites, you go to Google Play to install all your apps, man, I always find things on Google Play. Those are always the hot blogs because they want to say they're impenetrable with their Google Play Protect. But
we see that story all the time, though. Google removed another 10,000 applications that were found to be malicious. You're like, how did they get there in the first place? Like, here's Apple, disallowing something that that moderately could be confused for bad, and Android. I mean, but when you think about the, like, the totality, and this is something I don't know if you really have any expertise in, so feel free to tell me this is not. But like, you've got the folks that maintain the Google Play Store, right, or the App Store. They have to effectively police whether something that's uploaded is good or bad at the rate of these things are being uploaded into that system. I don't even know the numbers, but I imagine they're freaking monstrous.
Oh yeah, they have to be.
So you got to automate some of this and detect. And I know Google's got smart people. I mean, they got lots and lots and lots of smart people. But the scale of it, right? And then it's always a game of cat and mouse. So operating an app store sounds like a headache. I don't think I'd want to go do ever.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, and we've seen this before. I mean, Microsoft said the same things years ago. Like, oh, you don't need any AV. We have Windows Defender. Yeah. we all know how good Windows Defender is, right? It's the same thing with Google, and, you know, they're trying, but I will give them props. They came out not too long ago stating that, yeah, we're not very good at this, and we're going to try to get some help, so... So they're trying at least. They're trying, and they're admitting that they have some flaws.
Is that the reason, though, why there's a dropper installed on it originally? Maybe not going through the Play Store for it, but, you know, hey, let's put a dropper on here. It won't flag. Maybe it won't flag anything. And then days later, after it's been certified, now it can go ahead and download, you know, and that timing, and that cat and mouse game you talk about, it's that timing feature that, yeah, there's nothing. I mean, I talked about it. Oh, we talked about this 5-6 years ago. I was like, why don't, you know, how do we know that developers aren't writing code purposely vulnerable in these apps?
Yeah.
That, you know, but it makes it through, and oh man, there was a backdoor in that, or there was
an exploit
overflow. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get it through, and then of course it looks just like, oh well, it was just a bug in the system, even though it was a purpose bug in the system. You know, and then it's. I mean, I agree. Like, that, it's a tough thing. And the only thing I can say, Raph, you're saying, I don't know if I'd want to run an app store when they're pulling 60, 70% of every sale.
Yeah, okay. So there's the money part. Yeah. But you have they have an obligation because they're running. It's like the same obligation, and this is just a tangent here. It's the same obligation. Like the folks that run the YouTube for Kids app have to make sure my kids aren't watching crap that's inappropriate for their age. Like I'm trusting you with that, right? That's your damn job.
It is.
And if you screw that up, you know, there's a special place in hell for you because it's we're trusting you, right? So you break that trust. Like that's your job. But you know what? I just thought of something. With all these cars running around, Nathan, that have that are basically giant iPads or giant Android tablets with wheels, Are we talking about pre-installing anti-malware? I mean, is that a thing? Is that a conversation an anti-malware company should be having?
Oh, wow. It's not too far off the realm. I mean, I've heard like conspiracy stories where, you know, someone's car just doesn't happen to stop and runs right into a tree that happened to, you know, piss off someone in the government, you know, some high up at in the military. So, I mean,
that is not that's not too far afield.
I almost feel like worse than that though is
when you plug
when
it
we
in
get to that
Android auto, it's like,
yeah, what's that, James?
I feel like almost worse than that is, you know, we're going to get to this point where you get in your car and you have to watch a 60-second ad before you can put it in drive or something.
Yeah.
I'm much more terrified of that. Yeah. And you know, going back to the hidden ads, it's kind of genius that, you know, they're popping up all these ads left and right very aggressively, but all the ads they pop up are from legitimate companies. So if someone took these guys to court, what would happen? I mean, they're popping up legitimate ads. Yeah, they're popping up a little bit. Would these guys serve any jail time? They'd be like, well, just don't do that anymore. But keep all the millions of dollars that you just made. You know, just don't do it anymore. I got to wonder. I feel like that's where the mobile malware is going these days. They're going into directions of being in the gray area to, A, skate Christmas, but B, also to skate the malware scanners as well. Because you're laying in this gray area, you know. It's like, well, they're just displaying ads. Like, we all have apps on our phones that display ads. What's the big deal, you know? But when
what's super aggressive? You know, say, hey Nathan, this is kind of interesting too. You know how there's a lot of to do right now about third party libraries that developers tend to, whether you're talking about, you know, containerization and us importing stuff, or you're doing includes in software, or just whatever kind of importing functions, because nobody writes every piece of software from scratch, right? There's always libraries you're importing in. I kind of wonder if there's a library out there somewhere that has that dropper built in that these guys legitimately by accident used, or if it was malicious. Like, is there any way to determine that?
I'm sure there's a way to determine everything if you have enough time and resources, but you have to remember that my number one job is a class like malware, you know?
That's fair.
Blog took up a lot of time in December where people are taking vacation, so I'm working with what I got here. I'm sure someone who had all the time in the world and is paid to just look into to issues like this could dive deeper and figure out the exact origin. Actually, it's not going to be me, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Listen, before we run out of time, how much? I mean, you like you said, you get paid to classify malware. How much of how much of the media hype that we hear about, you know, millions of new samples a day, thousands of variants, blah blah blah. How much new malware is there actually out there being produced on a regular basis?
You know, we have a feed that comes in every single day, and I'll pull up the stats in just the last couple of days of what we have seen coming in. And keep in mind, these are numbers of things that we think have a good high probability of malware. Let's see here. So just yesterday, we had 16,000. The day before that, 12,000. The day before that, 14,000. And the list goes on and on. So is there new malware in different variants of malware? Different randomization of malware coming in every single day? Yeah. I mean, some of that malware we might already detect, obviously, but there's obviously a steady flow coming in. So, I mean, I think for some reason on mobile, people don't make the connection with malware as much as they do with PC.
Yeah, well, but the platform has always been sought at. But look, those of us that are old enough to know, we you know, your flip razor didn't necessarily need malware protection because it was a phone. It called people.
Yeah. But I think we're at the point where if you have a smartphone, excuse me, find a cold here, tail end of it. But if you have a smartphone today, it's probably a good idea to have a scanner on it too. Like I said, the price of free, you might as well do it.
Yeah.
Where's your risk level versus like what we would classify as malware, I guess, versus stuff like ransomware on the mobile?
Like ransomware? We saw a pretty good trend of ransomware along with the PC side, but just like the PC side, it's kind of died down. It's died down our side too, but yeah, it exists. It's a little bit different, obviously, where ransomware on a PC, you could be locking down a whole company, where on the mobile, you'd be locking down someone's cat pictures. Now, someone might be willing to pay for those cat pictures, you know, but, you know, it's, everything that we see on PC has eventually or will eventually trickle down to the mobile side because it's kind of the same developers.
Do you see better trends amongst mobile? So, like, you know, like you mentioned ransomware, you know, your computer, it's a whole different thing. Phone, like, do more people, if people tend to back up their mobile devices better than they do their computers? Like, I don't know many people that actually back up their computers, right?
Backs up their mobile phone.
I think we do by default because I mean a lot of phones, like I know my Pixel, it has Google Backup right on it, and you set it up right when you update the phone,
right.
And yeah, it's all there. Your photos are uploaded to the cloud automatically. I don't know if the same case with some of the budget carriers, but you could definitely get a backup thing, and it could easily back up any new photos or anything like that. So yeah, I like to think we do a little bit better job.
At least I can see that from like a ransomware perspective being less effective on mobile just because most people actually, whether they know it or not, probably have backups. You know, so it's like, oh man, my phone's bricked. And there, you know, there's a way to like factory reset it and reload from backup, and you're kind of back up and going, whereas, you know, most of your PCs aren't backed up at all.
Yeah, it's a lot easier process. I mean, I've done it a couple times where you just go ahead and back up everything on your phone, then get a new phone, and within minutes you're up and running, and it's installing all the apps that were on your old phone. So it's a little bit more streamlined, a little bit easier. So yeah, there's some differences. Like, you know, ransomware isn't going to be as effective, but there's also things on a mobile phone that are way more effective than the PC, and in my opinion, way more scary, which brings us to a good segue to what we call stalkerware. What stalkerware is essentially any app that has the ability to spy on someone's phone. And we've been seeing a huge uptick in cases where domestic abuse cases, people are able to find the victims in shelters or wherever they are because they have some kind of spyware that's sitting on their phone. Now, is everyone carrying their laptop around everywhere they go? Not necessarily. Is everyone carrying their phone around everywhere they go? Absolutely. And these things could do creepy things like take pictures from your front camera, from your back camera, so they can take pictures of where you are. It can track your GPS location. It can record your calls. It can track your SMS. I mean, anything you think of, these things can pretty much do. That's something that is unique to mobile that, you know, is becoming more and more of an issue. And we're really trying to push hard to detect a lot of these creepy things. And we're going to continue to do so. And we're partnering with some other companies as well.
Have you seen from the makers, I guess, right, whether it's iOS or Google, as far as doing that? Because I know, like, at least with my phone, you know, with iOS, you know, now it's like, I mean, even if you say like always allow tracking my location for like my mileage app, you know, every 3 days it pops up and it says, hey, this has been using your location. Do you want to allow for a day? Always allow. And I'm like, I just said always allow.
Well,
which is probably a good thing, right? That it notifies you that it's tracking your location. But the issue is when you can pretty much have some tracking location that you don't know is tracking location that's running in the background of your phone. And the unique thing about stalkerware is a lot of these cases, it's being installed by someone who has physical access to your phone because it's, you know, domestic abuse cases where someone has access to your phone and is able to go ahead and install these nasty things, and you're none the wiser. So on our end, we want to be able to detect them to at least give warning that, hey, you have this monitor. We classify most of these things as monitor. And, you know, this thing is here and could be tracking where you're going.
So
is that also like much more Android-based versus iOS-based as far as risk level? I bet happening?
I think there is some uniqueness to Android that makes it a little bit easier to be able to do that. It has a couple more, you know, you can grant more permissions on Android than you can on Apple to be able to do things in this matter.
Was it harder to install apps too? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could give somebody my iPhone and even unlock it. If I try to go download a new app from the App Store, you know, you got to have my fingerprint or my password, you know, to be able to do it. Whereas, you know, I don't know about, I don't really deal with the Play Store that much, but, you know, going out to be able to just download a APK file from anywhere and load it onto a system seems a little bit more relaxed than in the iOS environment.
Hey, I just checked you guys. I just checked, and so I checked my Android version. So my I've got a OnePlus, and my Android version, I'm on 10. And as of the most recent update, Google now regularly pops up and says, hey, this app has now gotten your location twice in the background. Do you want to allow this? Do you want to allow location only when you're using the app? Or like, screw this, this thing should not have my location. Right. I dig that.
You know, the problem with that is people get fatigued.
Yeah, that's also true.
My newest Android does it too all the time. Just like, hey, this is tracking you. Hey, this is tracking you. Hey, this is tracking you. Well, at some point you're just like, I don't care. Just allow it all. Allow everything because I'm just fatigued. I'm sick of the notifications.
Apps are
I'm
you
just
loading?
Allow everything. And I feel like we forget that in the security industry.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. I mean, that,
like,
I,
there's a point where you just you're being annoying and everyone's just gonna allow everything. I mean, I'm not in denial. I know most people aren't looking at the rights before pressing install on apps. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, well, security people don't do it. So
I'd do that.
The Joe user definitely
do it.
I mean, I can see that from, you know, from the aspect of like apps that may use the camera. But I mean, I've only got one app, and it's my mileage tracking app that ever asks me about tracking location. Like, what kind of apps are you guys loading?
I'm
you might
Google.
Want to start running some of your malware.
no, hold on. So, for example, I've got YouTube TV. So YouTube TV regularly pops up and has gotten that pop up. LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. For whatever reason, my Amazon shopping app has asked about that. Like I use Runkeeper to track my runs.
That makes sense.
I mean that should only have my location while I'm using it. Like, why are you doing it the rest of the time?
True.
Microsoft Teams, like, what the hell?
In defense of the fitness tracker, I would imagine that it would have to know your location all times because, I mean, do you want to, like, sit and wait 5 minutes for the GPS to connect before you can start your run?
I don't allow it to do it all the time, and it takes maybe 7-8 seconds. It's pretty quick on Android.
Okay. Fair enough.
It shouldn't take long because the phone's running GPS all the time.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, we can tell the apps no, but we all know the phone by itself is tracking us anyway. So.
This isn't 15 years ago when you had to wait for your phone to pick up 4 satellites to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, this feels like a good place to end this because we're about out of time, guys. But Nathan, this has been fun. Great chat, man. It definitely interesting. Thanks for bringing that to light. I mean, I really do wonder whether it was as we were talking, I started believing maybe it was just a library somebody did an include on or an import on and didn't really even think about what the heck they were doing. That is entirely too common in the app development world. Or maybe it was malicious. Who the hell knows?
Let me just say that, you know, I know we've been pegging on UMX, you know, a little bit here, but it's not just UMX. It's a lot of other carriers. And you know what? There's a good chance that UMX is a victim just like everybody else. They're just trying to provide a budget phone, and they got into business with people that they thought were legitimate, and they, you know, they just got had. It's a possibility. So
absolutely.
I don't want to pick on them too much. And you know what? I'm happy that there's companies out there that are trying to provide a budget phone because $500 and $1,000 is too darn much.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially when you 30 seconds into it, you drop it, shatter the screen, and you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywho, not like I've had any experience with that.
All right.
Nathan, thanks. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
James, another one as we rolled closer to 400, man.
I know. Rolling there fast.
All right, folks, listeners, Thanks for joining us. There might be some show notes in this one. I'm just curious as hell how many of you guys actually read show notes, because that's what I write them for. Just for myself. Just kidding. Also, if you haven't followed our Twitter account, I know some of you guys have, at DTSR_podcast on Twitter. I'm going to try to get that one a little bit more active, than more than just posting the podcast. And, of course, on LinkedIn I post this too. So thanks for listening. This has been fun. For Nathan and James and myself, I appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you another time, another place, on yet another Down a Skewed Rabbit Hole podcast. Ciao, y'all.
As we fade out on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole episode, we'd like to encourage you to chat with our hosts and guests using the Twitter hashtag #DTSR. Please check out the show notes, catch up on any episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. Our website is whiterabbit.net, whiterabbit.net. So on behalf of Rafal, James, for now it's goodbye. We'll see you soon on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast.